You're listening to Back to the Light with J.D. Rieger. Hey everybody, welcome to yet another episode of Back to the Light. I am J.D. Rieger. This week on the show, I'll be talking to three, count them three, radio friends who I'll tell you about in just a second. First, let me invite you to a listening party for both my new record, Where Wasn't I?, and the new Subteens record that I produced, Volume 4, Dashed Hopes and Good Intentions, this Thursday, October 6th in Memphis, at the Memphis Listening Lab. It's free and open to the public. Music starts at 6:30 p.m. That's this Thursday, October 6th, in Memphis at the Memphis Listening Lab. Both records officially come out on October 14th, by the way, and we'll have a big episode, or two maybe, to celebrate next week, as well as, for sure, two release shows in town. For more info on those, visit backtothelight.net. Alright, those of you who know me know I've always been fascinated with radio and radio personalities. It's part of the reason I make this podcast. So on this episode, we're going to chat with three interesting players on the Memphis radio scene, Robbie Grant and Jared J.B. Boyd from WYXR, and John Michael from 96X. Let's get to it.
One, two,
Talking Robbie. In the microphone, and I'm not gonna yell at J.D., I don't think. Okay, I can't.
Please don't yell at me.
Well, all right. Robbie, thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Of course, I'm happy to be here.
It's seems weird that this is the first time we've done this.
I know. We see each other in the building a bit.
And, so frequently.
Yeah.
And I've been on your show.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Happy to return the favor. So, this is the second record swap, and I guess, the same amount for 2 years for YXR, right?
Yeah, our birthday is October 5th. So we'll be doing our second birthday in 2022 this year. So yeah, it was right around then. Yeah.
It's been kind of a whirlwind, eh?
Yeah, it has been. I mean, we've been, you know, part of me can't believe it's only been 2 years. And part of me is like, man, it feels like longer just because we've been doing so much and staying busy. So
is the station what you dreamed it would be when you started this however many years ago? I know that's a weird question.
That's a weird question, but I mean, it's a fair question. I mean, I think I would say yes, definitely. I mean, I'm still excited about everything that we're working on. I'm we've got a great group of DJs that are really engaged and love the station and getting a lot of feedback from the community. I mean, really, it's just trying to build on that. You know, I feel like we only have still a pretty small awareness in the overall city, so there's a lot to build on there. So, and I'm excited to turn the rest of the city onto it. So
how do you address that besides, I mean, I would guess doing something like this out in public is part of it.
We're in Crosstown. I mean, our call letters hint at Crosstown. It's WYXR, your Crosstown radio, but we try not to say that much. We're really a Memphis radio station. So, I mean, it's really easy to do events in the building. We just roll these things out and sell merch and hang out. So for us, over the next year, 2 years, it's getting out into the community, getting into neighborhoods that aren't familiar with us, that aren't typically served by, you know, people coming out and talking about Memphis music to them and just turning people onto it in other neighborhoods. So hopefully that'll happen soon. So
I know you've got some events coming up. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about them? Yeah. The big, I assume, will there be a 2 year anniversary thing?
So so we've got three big events in the fall. One is our birthday, October 5th from 5 to 7. Just, we're going to hang out in front of the station. Hopefully all the DJs come, and then anybody else that loves the station, pledge drive. Third week of October, got to do it.
Of course, you have to.
And then we're doing this big Raised by Sound festival on December 3rd.
That's what I was hinting
at. Yes. Yeah. We haven't fully announced the acts yet. When does this air?
We can figure that out.
Okay.
We can play that by ear if we need to.
Okay. So I'm gonna say if. You know, I'll give you the overview on the festival. It's going to be December 3rd. It's going to be noon to midnight, basically. Free music in the central atrium here. from about 12 to 3. Then we're going to do acts down at the Crosstown Brewing Company, so for free. So from that day, there's about 8 free acts. Then we're going to have a fundraising component in the theater and a fundraising component in the green room. And so we're going to have our DJs out kind of all day long in our HQ space in the retail corridor. We'll probably be doing some stuff on air. So we're super excited about it.
Are we allowed to say that there's a connection to the Big Star Third?
Well, that's, we had to announce, it's fine. Like, I'm not keeping it a secret. So, I mean, we're going to make an official announcement.
Okay.
Probably in 2 weeks.
Okay. So when I can hold off on this for 2 weeks.
If you can wait till at least 2 weeks. Okay. So now I can talk about who's playing if you want.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we'll, the fundraising component, we'll do a concert, the 50th anniversary of Big Star's number one record in the theater. Jody Stevens, obviously, Mike Mills of REM, Pat Sansona Wilco, Chris Stamey, and John Auer. So the,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And we've got some special guests that are going to, a couple special guests that are going to sit in. Jody really didn't want to do it again like the Big Star Third, where it's just a cast of rotating, sit-ins. He really wants this to be like a tight rock band. So they're
That's
doing,
fun.
They're playing in Athens, they're playing in New York and LA. And so this is kind of got in on that.
Is it the same lineup that's doing the Power Pop Festival in September? It's a similar lineup.
I don't know. Maybe.
I know Auer and Jody are both involved
in
that.
Yeah, I'm sure Auer and Jody. I don't know. I know Pat's touring with Wilco, so I'm not sure. So, and then
not to plug anybody else's thing.
No, I don't. I mean, no, I'm totally fine with that. That's cool. And then we're going to do, we're going to have an after party in the green room with Bodywork, who's a DJ collective of 4 DJs that met at WYXR. So they've met. And they've been, they started off kind of here in town. Two of them have moved to New York. And so they kind of travel around. They actually did the Kennedy Center last week. It was kind of crazy, like in D.C.
Cool.
So, and then Andrew Van Weingarten of MGMT is going to come in town and DJ the after party in the green room. The free aspect is going to be, I don't know if I'll be able to remember everybody, but we're going to have Chemist and Nico, the Goddess. We're going to have Welkstall, which is Greg Cartwright. Mark Stewart, Marcella, and a bunch of other folks. We're going to have Erin Ray out of Nashville. She's going to be here. And then down there, at the Crosstown Brewing Company, we're going to have, and if you can't, I'm pointing to the Crosstown Brewing Company.
For folks who can't see that, he's pointing eastward.
Yeah. We're going to have Dahl McCoy, Stacey Adams.
Westward, I should say.
Stacey Adams, she's a new hip-hop artist that's blowing up from Memphis, moved to New York. She's coming back.
Cool.
And then the return of Knots. So Natalie Hoffman's going to get Knots back together.
Yeah,
so
they haven't played it forever.
Yeah. So if you can keep it under wraps, so I think like September 20, something like that, we're going to announce it then. But then it's... I'm telling people, if I saw you here today, I'd tell you. We're trying to keep it a little under wraps.
Sure.
The excitement, the thing. Trying to do a little PR press thing. Yeah.
Well, aside from WYXR stuff, you're involved in a lot of music yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think your band Big Ass Truck is playing a show soon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing Mempho Fest on October 1st, which will be the second time we've done it. We did it out at Shelby Farms, I think the second year, but now it's a little smaller, more intimate. It's still 10,000 people, which is cool.
Yeah, so just a small 10,000 people show.
Yeah, well, that one was like
no
20.
Big deal.
And the thing with the first Mempho, or the first one we played, it was like we played at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's really not that many people there. So this is going to be cool because we'll be on headline on the second stage, and it'll be like kind of 7 o'clock at night, and it'll be super fun. So we've been rehearsing for that, and that's exciting. So.
Is it cool that? It seems like you guys kick up Big Ass Truck, sort of periodically, maybe once a year sort of a thing.
Yeah, just kind of when it makes sense. Like somebody, quite frankly, it's like if someone makes us an offer to play, like that means they really want us to play. And so we're like, okay, and we'll play. That's kind of how it is. Like we almost started talking about like writing new songs and doing some stuff for Mempho. And then as it got closer, it was like people just want to hear the old stuff And then actually, as it got even closer, it's like we only have an hour. So it's like, by the time we wrote a new song and played it, we'd have to cut out all these other songs that probably people want to hear, I guess. I don't know. I'm surprised people still want to hear us play, but it's cool. So,
what about the solo stuff? You do anything with Mouse Rocket, Vending Machine, anything?
I used to play under Vending Machine. Now I kind of go by my own name. Not really. I usually do a Christmas show. I'm planning on doing that this year. Mouse Rocket, I mean, we've been a band for over 20 years, and sometimes we go a whole year without playing.
Yeah.
And I mean, the big thing, you know, my big project in 2016 and 2018 was the Mellotron Variations project. And that was like kind of like a real highlight for me in my musical career. It was a lot of work, but we did a concert here featuring four Mellotrons and got an NEA grant through Crosstown Arts and ended up doing a big Tiny Desk concert.
I can't imagine what applying for and getting a grant for something like that. I bet that's a process.
It was a huge process that, honestly, the folks at Crosstown Arts did most of the work. I mean, we collaborated on what the show would be, but I now know that I'm in this nonprofit space with the radio station, what it takes. And I just, for that, I was more of just reacting to questions they had, but it was cool. It allowed us to, you know, bring in John Medeski and Pat Sansone and make a vinyl out record with Jonathan Kirksey.
I was about to ask, I think that's on record, right?
Yeah. Well, Jonathan Kirksey and I did duets for Mellotron with the sole purpose of, two purposes, play the show and release a record. And when we did the Mellotron thing with the quartet, quite frankly, we're like, we don't have time to make a record. Let's just record it anyway. And we recorded it. It was great. And then Jonathan probably spent 100 hours mixing it. I mean, it wouldn't be a record if he was the genius behind it. I mean, he basically took the tracks and like just sat with it for 3 months and just poured over it and made it the record that it is. So
can you still get that? Do we have copies of that at the store?
Yeah, I have copies of it in my attic if you want some. I think so. So I'm happy to bring it by.
And, yeah, if we don't have it, bring it by.
Yeah, but it was cool. We did it here, and then we did it up at Solid Sound Wilco's Festival, and we did it in Nashville, and then right at the beginning, right a couple months before the pandemic, we got invited to do Tiny Desk in DC, which was really, really cool. They mainly because it's a Mellotron. They're like, oh, we want to see that, what that is. And so we did that. And then we had plans to do New York, and I was starting to kind of do that, and it just, everything came to a screeching halt. And the other two guys have a lot of other, they got to get caught up on all their normal stuff. This was a side project for them. So, yeah.
You know, I know that the pandemic squashed a bunch of stuff, but it must have been cool to have a thing like radio that you could do kind of in spite of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that we came at just the right time where people were engaged and wanting to, you know, we heard that a lot. Like, it's allowing me to connect with people that I would normally do before the pandemic in person, you know, on radio. So that's I think we came at a good time for that, for sure.
It was kind of the same for me in the podcast.
Yeah. It's like people, it's kind of fun to hunker down, you know? I mean, there was some horrible things about it, but some great things about it, spending more time with family and just slowing down. And I don't have FOMO anymore about going out, honestly. Like, I'm like, okay, let's go.
I had to think about what that was. Oh, yeah, fear of missing out.
Now
right.
I'm like, I don't care about going out now, so. But.
Well, Robbie, thanks for meeting me here at the booth, man.
Anytime, man. I'll see y'all later. Y'all have fun.
Yeah, we'll sit on this.
Okay.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Cool.
All right. Jared Boyd, JB, good to see you.
JD, we're back to the light, baby. It's good to be in this lovely chair and back on the program.
Yes, sir. This is the second Listening Lab / WYXR record swap, and we're coming up on 2 years of WYXR, right?
Coming up. It's coming in fast. October 5th will make 2 years. Absolutely.
Yeah, Robbie was hipping me up to that. How do you feel almost 2 years in? Are you satisfied with what you guys have been able to accomplish so far?
I don't want to get to a point where I'm satisfied, to be honest with you. I mean, I want to wake up and feel like there's work to do, that there's a reason to get out of bed, that there's something to tinker with. And that doesn't mean that I'm looking to change the programming around necessarily, or that I'm looking to change the paint on the walls. It's just, you know, I'm open to, you know, hearing what the community is asking for and feeling the vibe of our programmers, of our volunteers that are on air or off air, what makes them tick, what makes them happy, what makes them sad, what makes them, you know, what music they're listening to when they're going through a tough time, what music makes them feel optimistic when they're in that mood. You know, all those things matter. And you know, how now that we're, you know, sort of creeping out of what I hope is was the worst part of the pandemic, now that we're, you know, able to get out into the public and do some more events like we're doing today, now that's a big thing. And you know, going after grants and fundraising and getting to know our members better and getting to learn and acquire donorship and all those little things, you know, fill up the day.
Mm-hmm. How crucial is it to be where you are and have access to this space to do stuff like this?
Well, Crosstown Concourse has been incredible for us as a venue. I call it one of the busiest lobbies in the region. You know, I don't know the numbers on that, but I can only imagine, especially for leisure, the amount of people that come through here, and you know, for the people who work in the building, whether it be, you know, at St. Jude or at Church Health or at the Curb Market, French Truck, or you know, City Leadership rather, and all the different goings and comings of the building. People come in sometimes something serious, sometimes for something that is lighthearted, for something that just makes them happy. And so we want to interact and interface with as many people as possible. You know, the thing about who we are and what we do is that you can't please everybody. We want to have something for everyone, but the reality of it is that you're going to lose some people sometimes, and hopefully pick them back up at other times. And maybe we'll, you know, if it isn't hour to hour, it might be month to month or year to year. We hope that at some point we can, you know, find a way to pull someone in, to at least draw them to care a little bit about what we do, because what we do is for the community, and we hope that it's branded and programmed with the identity of Memphis all over it. And that means a lot to a lot of people, not just in this city, but all across the world. And so our neighborhoods look different. From block to block, you can see a dramatic change. So we have to be able to adapt as well.
Yeah, Robbie was saying that one of the primary goals moving forward would be to reach out to, you know, neighborhoods outside of the traditional base, midtown, downtown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How do you go about doing that?
That's the question, you know. And you know, Robbie didn't grow up in that area. I didn't grow up in that area, you know. So I think we know, you know, the distance in your car, you know which direction to go, but there's a lot of people in between, you know, from here to the edge of the city and across the world, and they all have different, very specific needs and desires and wants, and they all feel good about different things. They all care about different causes. And so the best thing that we can do is just get out there and put our best foot forward and let people know who we are, to be strategic about the presentation that we have, and just to be forthright and as best we can be transparent, to allow people to meet us where we are, and vice versa.
And I'm sure that being able to strategically partner with groups like the Listening Lab and Crosstown Arts, it's such a creative hub in the building, not just like a business hub. That's got to be a huge advantage.
You know, this isn't just as you mentioned, you know, a place for commerce. There's tons of other nonprofits in the building. There are facilities that are concerned with health,
recording studios.
Absolutely.
Craig Brewer just got a video studio.
Absolutely. So, you know, we talk about being a part of an ecosystem of a lot of different opportunities. My friend Tad would tell me it's an anthro system, that's for people. So not it's not ecology, it's anthropology. But either way, I won't split hairs on that. and I appreciate that terminology as well. But we want to be able to reach across, as we are right now with you, as we are with 96X, as we are with Shangri-La and Ghana, and you know, even when we're things that have nothing to do with music. You know, we play golf on the weekends. You know, we go to shows. I mean, even if we're not on official WYXR business, the places that we go and the people we see, the hands we shake, and all those things sort of play a role. When I'm out DJing, I might be DJing as DJ Bizzle Blue Bland of myself, but people ain't dumb. They look me up. They know I'm a part of this thing, and they know that I care about this thing, and I'm working away at it. So same with Robin when he's playing with Big Ass Truck, or if he's you know, out doing another whole different thing, being a dad, being a cool dude. Hopefully people can see that we're coming at it from two different directions, but we're working together for that reason.
You do a lot of DJ gigs all over town. I remember seeing you at Gonerfest last year.
Yeah.
I've seen you at the Overton Park Shell doing stuff. Maybe mm-hmm. Was it Tambourine
Bash? Yeah.
When you're doing these, is your approach to being a DJ like, you know, this is what I do, I'm going to bring this to the venue, or do you tailor your presentation to whatever room you're in?
Oh, you know, there's definitely a tweak made for specific rooms, for a specific venue, for a specific gig. If you know me well enough, you know I don't do weddings for that reason. You know, I'm not. I don't want to be at the mercy of someone's drunk uncle, father-in-law, you know, cousin, whichever, you know, can you play, pour some sugar on me, whatever it is that they want to hear at any particular moment. I like to be in an environment where, you know, we can listen and we can learn and we can evolve. That doesn't mean I'm always right. I definitely, you know, someone says, is there any such thing as a good request? Yeah, there are some times where someone that's down on the floor dancing can sort of feel the energy of the crowd in a way that I can, or at least if I play that person's song, they're gonna dance their behind off, and you never know how infectious that might be for someone to be excited on the dance floor, and everyone's like, all right, I guess this is this dude's song, and he and the DJ got some kind of synergy going on. But you know, overall, I try to go into a gig with the expectation of what my comfort zone is and what I think that crowd might enjoy. You know, people think that I know every song that's ever existed. The number one thing is that I'm a record guy, so I'm not paying attention to what's coming on the radio on a commercial, you know, Same. Top 40 playlist every week. I'm not paying attention to what's just started streaming in the last week. If I catch it, I catch it. If I don't, I don't. I really sort of, I glom on to records that I find interesting. I glom on to what the people around me seem to be excited about and how I can observe that it moves people. If I'm out somewhere and I hear another DJ and he's played something, you know, and people start moving, I think, oh, maybe I don't know that artist very, very well, but that song obviously moves people. I was at a local on the square in Overton Square a couple weeks ago. A musician friend of mine, I saw from across the restaurant. I said, oh, I'm going to say hello to her when I'm done with my drink. All of a sudden, I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston comes on. Her entire table starts freaking out. At Sunday at brunch, the whole restaurant's watching them enjoying the song. They're singing, they're dancing, they're high-fiving, they're clinking glasses together. I said, well, that's not a song I like very much. Not my style. But clearly, this moves people. I said, I'm throwing that in my set. This thing moves people. A couple weeks later, I'm playing Rayford's. We're outside. Man, I played I Want to Dance with Somebody, so let me see how this works. The damn security guard lost it. I'm thinking, man, this dude's at work. He's supposed to be protecting people. But this guy, he's singing and he's dancing the Whitney Houston, man, like he had a hairbrush in the bathroom or something.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
What do you got coming up on the DJ schedule?
I'm at Young Avenue Deli tonight with DJ Alpha Whiskey, one of my favorite DJs in town. Man, I got a lot of, you know, I can't think from week to week, but I'm doing some stuff with Opening Park Conservancy. What else is on the thing? I think I have a pretty high profile birthday party coming up that I don't typically do those sorts of events, but right behind me in the Crosstown Concourse, I'm hearing that there might be someone with enough pull to get a very well known touring recording group to come and play for their birthday party. I'll be excited to open for them. A similar situation happened recently where I opened for Darius Rucker at a private event. That was interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did you call him Hootie?
I didn't meet him. Oh, okay. I just did my job and got on out the way. But, you know, it gets exciting. I, if you were to ask me which I prefer the gigs like Young Avenue Deli. Just the down, dirty, you don't know who's coming off the street, high on life, leaving the Tigers game probably tonight, that's just wants to hear a good song. That's my kind of gig. I like it like that.
Do you like to win over a room?
You know, yeah. There are some rooms that are tricky. It's like a Rubik's Cube. You kind of pinpoint, who's the most gregarious person of all these folks? How can I get them on my side? Once they're on my side,
then everybody.
You just keep feeding that person. At the very least, someone's going to want to dance with them, you know? And so you get a lot of that at Young Avenue Deli. You just get there's some, the least likely other people usually when it's a crowd that's kind of just, they're like, oh, well, I came here for, you know, mozzarella sticks. I didn't come here to dance. You find that one person that's like, oh, I didn't expect that would be the song to get that person going. And once they got it, then the whole crowd usually jumps in.
You kind of came to town. You were known as a writer when you first came back on the scene.
Right, right. Well, I mean, so I'm born and raised here. Yeah. You know, I went away. I got a job as a news reporter, and I wanted to come back home. That was always my. I never planned to leave necessarily. I just had to find a job, and so I lived in Alabama for a few years as a news reporter. I was writing about music and entertainment there, writing about food there, traveling up and throughout the state of Alabama. But I was always collecting records. And came back home to write, just to feed myself and be back home and be close to family. That was, like I said, I never wanted to leave.
And it took a whole other turn, though.
Yeah, you know, I DJed a little bit in college, and I started collecting records in college. So I had friends in music, and I think I knew that I wanted to write about music. I just needed the opportunity, and the opportunity came up with the Daily Memphian to write about, to be a general assignment reporter, reporting on everything and anything. But I think eventually I impressed upon them that I was best used to go around and sort of grab the culture of the city and make sure that it's committed to print. And I did that long enough that when Central Station opened up, you know, they were like, you've been writing about all these records that no one's ever heard about that have, you know, these Memphis ties. Come play them. You know, come play them. We got a vinyl lounge. Come play them. And I took them up on that offer, and that evolved into one thing. And well, I mean, to be fair, I did come back home on Bill Street Caravan, so I was doing that. That was sort of me scratching that itch as far as music was concerned. But that's when things really took off. Was you know, working at Central Station, working some long hours, DJing in the booth, and when the pandemic happened, I kind of figured I'd take a pivot, and I knew WYXR was coming on the horizon, and Daily Memphian was going to help with that. And so both organizations made a way for me to kind of transition smoothly out of the newsroom and into running the station with Robbie.
Are you still doing any writing? Do you feel done with it for the moment?
No. Well, you know, for right now, I'm not doing anything regularly, but I'm still freelancing. I'm doing a series of songwriter biographies for StaxRecords.com. The latest of those just came out about Carl Hampton and Homer Banks, who were the co-writers of If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right, and several other records at Stax. They work with the Soul Children. They work with the Emotions. They work with Luther Ingram, Beyond That, big hit record. And, you know, I'm working on some things, some magazine features and some other things for up on the horizon. And also doing some more liner notes work. During the pandemic, I did Vinyl Me Please's release of I've Been Loving You For So Long by Frederick Knight, as well as I did the complete singles collection for Gospel Truth with Stax as well. So I've got some projects similar to that coming up as well.
Man, you're everywhere, dude.
Tired.
I know the feeling, but man, you are everywhere.
It's fun. It's fun. It's really, it's for Memphis. You know, I don't want to do things that serve me. I want to do things that expand just our cultural lexicon and preserve what's already happened, because there's just, you know, first of all, we're losing a lot of these people who can tell these stories. And so as best I can, if I can get them on air, great. But if I need to sit down with them and record them, I'll do that as well if I can. I enjoy being on air and not having to edit what I say. You know, I have a filter, of course, but I don't have to go after the fact and listen to an hour of myself talking. It's already happened. It's out there. It's in the ether. Someone can listen to it. I don't have to dress it up or write it down. But, you know, the writing is cool, too.
When you're doing a civic project like this that's based around music, Memphis music, two words that are kind of synonymous, do you feel a certain pressure to like live up to what you're undertaking?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's very serious and very immediate to me. From a familial standpoint, my cousin Andrew Love, I feel like there are so many stories to be told about who he is or who he was. He's passed on now. That link means a lot to me. That's a sacred link for me. He was one of the original hosts of one of the earlier hosts, he and Wayne Jackson of the Memphis Horns were two of the earliest hosts of Bill Street Caravan. I didn't realize that till I'd already taken the gig. So that feels like it's kismet for me to be able to be a part of that legacy and that through line and that heritage. But you know, beyond that, even if that weren't the case, I'm a Memphian, and you know, I grew up in this community, and I think that it's important for me, particularly as a young Black person in this community, to take some ownership of what my ancestors have done to spread the gospel of Memphis, if you will, across the globe, and to let other people know, other people who feel like me and who look like me, know that they have this incredible heritage to care about and to keep and to be precious about. And so that's what's most important to me. And so when people walk up to me with a demo tape, not tape, but you know, they send me a link or whatever about what's going on right now, new music, things that the forecast of the future.
We still get tapes at Shangri-La. I don't know about you.
Yeah, here and there. But you know, that's important. But you know, every week or so I hear about a songwriter or a producer or a performer who's passed on. And so as best I can, I want to grab those people while they're still here to tell the stories. And so that sort of takes priority for me. That makes more sense to me. It's not as much of a moving target.
Yeah.
There's new music coming out every day, and the internet is so vast. if I can just block everything out, sit with a box of records and go through it and figure out what I might have missed in the past, that's just is easier for me to digest. And so, I take it very seriously, but I do feel pressure just in the sense that as we've discussed, I mean, there's so much stuff going on. I've got my hands on a lot of stuff. I miss things all the time and feelings get hurt. Sometimes,
yeah.
When you tell these stories truthfully and responsibly, as best you can, sometimes you break some eggs, and sometimes
it's a cliche, but you can't make an omelet.
Absolutely, you might miss an entire farm full of livestock where there are rich stories and things going on, and I sometimes have to pass and say, you know what, that's for someone else.
Yeah.
And be confident in that decision. And so people, and then as you mentioned, some people know me for one specific thing. But today, or for these 6 hours, I'm DJing, and I met Young Avenue Deli, and I'm on these two turntables, and I want this to go well. I maybe can't answer someone's question about WYXR until tomorrow or till Monday, and it stinks to make those discernments sometimes. But if I didn't, I'd lose it.
Yeah, you got to take care of yourself. So that you can do the good work.
I'm trying. I'm still learning how to figure that out.
Yeah, me too. JD, thank you for joining me.
JD Riga, thanks for having us always, and thanks for all your support.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Always.
All right, back to the light forever.
YXR forever.
Love.
See ya.
The microphone check. Yeah.
That's fine.
You're liking this?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
What's up, John?
How's it going, dude?
Mega Booth. We did it. We're doing it.
We did it. We're doing it.
Living the dream.
And it's I'd say we got what we wanted out of it and so much more. The Mega Booth was kind to us this year.
Yeah. She's a benevolent queen.
She is. We found.
So it's a big question or a big I'm teeing this up for you. What's going on with 96X?
Well, man, a lot. We've had all kinds of momentum. I mean, it's all kind of coming together in a way that I wanted it to, which was ground up.
You had a story in the Daily Memphian?
Yeah.
The Daily, big deal.
That was so cool. And, the Daily Memphian did a nice little piece on us and gave us a nice little boost in town and, you know, listenership and kind of awareness. And it's just been fun hanging out with you at the Mega Booth and doing stuff with Shangri-La. And it's growing nicely. People are slowly but surely finding out about it. And I like that. I like the fact that they're, you know, they're not finding about it, you know, through, you know, big, you know, ad campaigns and stuff like that. It's just kind of being the thing that people are like, oh yeah, I've heard about that, you know.
You're doing a little bit of ad campaigning. You're doing some stuff with Memphis Wrestling that I helped facilitate.
You did.
But I wouldn't say you're not papering the town exactly.
Yeah, like I'm not buying the biggest, most expensive billboard. I'm not buying Super Bowl ads. You know what I mean? It's very, it's ground up. It's just the way I wanted it, you know.
So the grassroots thing is intentional?
Yeah. I like the idea of that, you know.
It is for me, too.
One thing I appreciated about there was a station in L.A. that I was at, K-Rock, that for 20 years was weird and had terrible ratings. I mean, when it signed on in the 70s, it was cool, but it was kind of this thing that just didn't catch fire. And then when grunge caught fire, it caught fire, but it was built off of a base of 20 years of weirdness. So, like, image-wise, it always held on to that. So even as it went kind of corporate and kind of, you know, became ultimately like kind of a pop-programmed radio station, people still, you know, affiliated it with that kind of old, weird. And so that's something I want to do with this. I definitely want to be as weird as I can while we're new and then have it organically grow. So that, you know, as things evolve, people will always kind of fondly remember, you know, that that'll be part of our brand. That
the
was
punk rock days.
Ground up. Yeah, totally. And, you know, I mean, it's just been a lot of fun.
So what are the next steps?
Well, I'm looking, I think I've narrowed down my choices for facility, and I think we'll have an announcement maybe in a couple weeks. I don't want to ruin that announcement, but it's a really good location for the station. I think it'll be really good for Memphis musicians, and I don't know, I think it'll be a ton of fun. So that announcement will come out pretty soon. And then, you know, between you and me, I mean, a lot of this was sparked off of some of our initial conversations the first time we recorded a podcast together. I'm looking for an FM signal. So, you know, that's something that when I started this, I had no intention of doing. But the more I investigated it and kind of looked around, there might be a way to make that happen. And so that's really exciting too. And so I should hopefully, you know, and have an announcement. Those things can kind of, you know, the deal can always fall through, but, you know, if I'm being optimistic, that might be something we'd be able to announce pretty soon. And I think that would be that would just kind of put our ceiling.
Be a game changer.
I think so. I really do think it. We're changing the game. But, you know, I mean, as much as I want to get away from terrestrial radio kind of programming and philosophy.
There are certain limitations that come with it.
There are. But
can't say fuck.
You can't. You can't say the brown word. You can't say a lot of that stuff. And but, you know, dude, I think it'll be a fun thing for Memphis to have a completely independent radio station that has the freedom to kind of evolve into what it can evolve into, rather than, hey, here's what we're doing, and this is the play, and this is the play we're running, and this is what it is. Like, this thing will have a platform where it can kind of evolve. So I think we can make a really cool product here in Memphis, you know, that's by Memphis, for Memphis, and truly unique, which is exactly what I wanted first time we spoke, if you'll remember.
Yes. Currently, the station is streaming on sort of, I mean, would you say autopilot? It's sort of a shuffle mix playlist kind of a thing.
Yeah.
How soon do you see it transitioning to a hosted format?
Yeah, I think when I move to Memphis, I'll have, you know, we'll have that studio facility announcement, and then we'll have a place to do it, and then we'll be able to do it. So
I'm asking you a lot of questions that I sort of know the answer to for the audience's benefit. I just want to mention.
Oh, yeah. JD knows where all the bodies are buried. He's so tied in.
Hey, audience, I'm cool.
Yeah, he's really, really. You guys probably don't give him enough credit for being as plugged in as he is, but just know that. Know that JD's got you, okay? So, yeah. At first, again, I wasn't intending on ever doing it, but now it's going in that direction. I think it'll be sooner than later, have some staff, and then eventually be fully staffed. So,
are you going to be the lead voice of the station?
Man, I go back and forth on that. I selfishly know it'd be fun, you know, but I kind of want.
It would seem like you would have to be a voice.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. 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 But it's something that I haven't invested a lot of. I've thought completely about everyone else and not really that.
You don't want to be the wrestling promoter who puts the title on himself?
Yeah, this is kind of weird. But you know what? At the same time,
hey man, it worked for Jeff Jarrett, dog.
But dude, I also know that I have the self-awareness to... See, that went right over my head. It took me a second.
Yeah, John Michael, the Jeff Jarrett of Memphis Radio.
That's it. That's me. Except my hair's not as golden fleecy.
Yeah, neither is his now. His is more like short and greasy. But
oh, okay, all right. I think I could probably do that. And I can get some grease. Yeah, I'll work on that.
All right,
I'll work on that. And then people won't be able to tell us apart.
Oil up.
Yeah,
in general.
No, definitely. Yeah, I've been needing a reason to hydrate my skin excessively.
Yeah,
and I think this would give me the context to be able to pull that off. So yeah, man, dude, things are going well, and thank you for all your help, man. You've been so great. You know, on and off the air, introducing me to you know, not more than just wrestling community, but to the music community. And yeah, it's just I've really had the Memphis musicians looking out for me, and you've led the way on that, so thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I look forward to working with you more in the future.
Yeah, should be cool. Like when you say the future, you mean like when we're all flying around in jetpacks and
yeah I mean like the Back to the Future 2 style future.
Got it. But not 3. I don't want to. I have no interest in going back to the 1800s. As rad as Mary Steenburgen is, I don't want any horse-drawn carriages.
As long as we don't have to damage the DeLorean, you know, as long as we're not stuck there, I'm cool.
Okay. All right. I think we see eye to eye.
It's like Chicago. It's a nice place to visit.
Well, man, dude, I love the pod. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for coming by.
All right.
Mega booth.
Did you get that?
That's the show. Thank you, Robbie and JB from WYXR, and John Michael from 96X. Thanks all three of y'all for supporting Back to the Light. Thank you, the audience, for listening. Our opening theme is Arthur with 2 H's. Our closing theme is Joey Pegram of Shabadoo. And for music, news, episode archives, and other fine podcasts, visit backtothelight.net. Until next time, take care, y'all.
part of the Back to the Light podcast network at backtothelight.net.